Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Today's episode has elements of nature and the natural world all over, starting with a preview of National Geographic's miniseries Secret of the Elephants. James Cameron oversees this Earth Day attraction kicking off Friday night, and cinematographer Bob Poole joins me next. Rabid Reality is the new subscription-on-demand venture devoted to dog rescues. Hear Andrew Greenberger and Billy Cooper, co-partners in the parent of this venture, Early Release Media, later this hour. And get the full picture on Jane, Apple TV Plus's unique nature program inspired by the iconic naturalist Dr. Jane Goodall. Executive producer J.J. Johnson headlines our final 30 minutes. Also ahead, two notables launch new TV ventures, AMC Plus adds an ad-inclusive format, and a new classic trivia question and prize in play. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I'm presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other leading podcast ventures. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. 62 degrees, and the sun is finally coming out after a mostly overcast morning here in the New York City metro area. And wherever you are, we welcome you to this Monday afternoon edition of the program all about TV's current and future. A great 90 minutes in store for you, and we're going to go right to it. So get involved. How? Pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. You can also get involved in our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Just click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Screen, and other people can be live with you when you follow those instructions. And Bob Poole, director of photography on the new National Geographic miniseries, Secret of the Elephants, which premieres Friday night and then goes on Saturday on Disney Plus. He will join us from Sun Valley, California, after these news notes. Tennis superstar Serena Williams and NCIS Los Angeles co-star LL Cool J are extending their activities in the TV medium. Williams is starting new venture 926 Productions, and Amazon Studios has nailed first shot at TV development there. Several scripted and unscripted series and specials are under consideration. Earlier today, Paramount invested $15 million with several partners in LL Cool J's hip-hop undertaking, Rock the Bells. The payoff for Paramount, first dibs at a range of Rock the Bells, scripted and unscripted TV content, and the go-ahead to offer the company's upcoming festival this August among various TV platforms. The festival, celebrating the 50th anniversary of hip-hop, will play at Forest Hills Stadium in New York. Ad-free multi-channel bundle AMC Plus will come out with an ad-inclusive format by the end of 2023. In addition to AMC Plus, the limited commercials option will incorporate content on AMC Network's operated Shudder, IMC Films Unlimited, and Sundance Now. Both light ad and ad-free versions will be distributed to viewers through smart TV products. We'll have a big variety of news note quickies for you at the top of the hour. Again, all of our segments today have a theme, and the theme is nature or the natural world. As I mentioned, in the rest of our show, you'll be hearing about the new subscription on-demand service Rabid Reality and the new Apple TV Plus series Jane. But first, we're going to get into an Earth Day attraction coming your way this Friday on National Geographic Channel, and then coming up the following day on Hulu and Disney Plus. It's Secret of the Elephants, and it's the latest natural history or nature-oriented docuseries executive produced by the person behind Titanic and the Avatar movies, James Cameron. Joining us live in an internet radio exclusive from Sun Valley, California, the director of photography on Secret of the Elephants, Bob Poole. Bob, welcome in. Hold on for 1 second, and we should get him any moment. There we go. Bob, are you there? Bob, you're on. All right, hold on for a moment. He is on the line, and we should get him right now. Bob, can you hear me?
Not hearing anybody suddenly. Hello?
There you go. Yes, you are on, Bob. Great to have you with us. And welcome in, and tell us about how you got involved with Secret of the Elephants. Bob, go ahead. For some reason, he has dropped off the line. So let's see if we can try him again one more time. And again, I apologize, everybody. Again, Bob, by the way, is the director of photography on Secret of the Elephants, executive produced by James Cameron, narrated by Natalie Portman, Oscar winner. And again, it's premiering this Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on National Epic Channel, available on cable and satellite. Then it will be running on Hulu and Disney Plus the very next day on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Let's see if we can get Bob. We'll try one more time, and hopefully it will be a charmer. Bob, are you there? Can you hear me? All right, I'll tell you what. Bob, call us back. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Give us a call back, and as soon as I see you ready to go on the line, we will get you on, okay? Great. Everybody, we apparently have a little bit of a technical breakdown. Hopefully we will get him the next time when he calls in a matter of moments, and when I see him on my computer screen here in Nueva York, we will get him on. Again, Secret of the Elephants is playing starting this Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on National Rapid Channel. It's available on Smart TV. That's available on cable and satellite. And then the following day, it will be running on Hulu and Disney Plus. And I believe Bob is now back on the line with us. And there we go. Bob, can you hear us? Bob? Hang on for a second. I'm going to try another line here. Bob, are you there? Oh. Let's see if Bob finally is reachable. He may be going us on the line. Bob, are you there? Hello, Bob. All right, for some reason, we've got a drop. And for some reason, we are not getting him. So if we can, I know that the publicist on this project is listening to the show, and for some reason, we are having issues here. And we apologize to you, our listeners. He has called in. Let's see if we can try again. Here we go. All right. Let's see if Bob is finally. Yes, there you go.
Hello.
Bob. Welcome in. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Glad we connected.
Yes, finally connecting. Great. Thanks for being patient as well as with our listeners. All right, let's talk about Secret of the Elephant. What was it like putting this together with somebody like James Cameron?
Well, it was amazing, really. I mean, such an incredible project, filming elephants. You know, we had crews all over where you find elephants across Africa and Asia. And I was in Namibia filming desert elephants, and then I was in East Africa filming savanna elephants. And both locations were just amazing. The elephants themselves are just incredible, and I've really spent a lot of my career filming elephants, so it was a real fantastic experience for me. Also working with my older sister, who's an elephant expert, and she's part of the series as well. In fact, she's on as a scientific advisor for the series. So all around, it's just an amazing project.
Do you like to do that? A kind of when you do cinematography on these type of programs, do you like the fact that it can be a family affair?
Absolutely. You know, my career with National Geographic goes way back. I started actually as a teenager. And, you know, at the time I was raised in Kenya, in East Africa. My family worked in wildlife conservation. And my older sister was really pioneering science back in the day. You know, in the early 70s, she went to a place called Amboseli National Park in Kenya to study bull elephants, and she made some really remarkable discoveries that explains a lot about their behavior. So she, my very first film for National Geographic was about her. And, you know, ever since that time, that was way back in the early 90s. And since that time, we have worked on so many elephant films together. So that's really fun.
How'd you get the assignment to work with James Cameron? I mean, we're not talking about any old, you know, executive producer, writer, director. We're talking about, you know, the man that put Titanic and the Avatar movies to fame, and he's also done quite a bit in terms of when he's not doing feature films, doing television documentaries or television miniseries.
Yeah, I think he's really into conservation and conservation of wildlife, and of course that's, you know, the first thing that's so important when you're working on these kind of projects. he's dedicated to it. And of course, this one started out, you know, Secrets of the Whales was the first one that the first miniseries out in on this, you know, Secrets of, and followed up, you know, by Elephants. And so, you know, when they go to make a series like this, of course, you know, they're looking for people who have a lot of experience filming them. And so that's where I came in. I've been, like I said, filming elephants for so many years. And, you know, elephants are amazing animals, and they're different everywhere you go, too. And I've, you know, filmed them, you know, across Africa and Asia. And it really does help to know the subject, you know, to know the animal's behavior, to be able to anticipate what's going to happen next, essentially, when you're filming, because there's no take twos, you know, it's all you can't direct them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, let's talk about that a little further, because we've had quite a few nature cinematographers, producers, directors over the course of the almost 16 years we're doing this program, and like you said, nature directs you. You don't direct them. It's an amazing, amazing deal. We are talking to Bob Poole. He's the director of photography on Secrets of the Elephants, James Cameron's latest nature adventure for National Geographic. And it premieres this Friday night, April 21st, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Nat Geo, available on cable and satellite. And then the next day it will be running on Hulu and Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles. Bob joins us live from Sun Valley, California this half hour on Suave Televised. All Natural edition for you this Monday afternoon. Simon Abbott with you live from the other side of the U.S. of A., New York, where it is now 62 degrees at the top of the hour. Love to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our great superfan from Philadelphia, Rick Webb, is already in the room. First of three episodes we're doing on Suave Televised. We'll be with you Thursday and Friday at this hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We have a number of possible guest situations, and we'll let you know about them on our social media platforms, Facebook and Twitter. So stay tuned. And I must tell you that in the last couple of weeks, we've gotten some very interesting guest invitations for our show, one of which we hope to have on either on our Thursday or Friday episode. So stay tuned for the news about that. So again, we're with you again Thursday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Bob, like I said, you can't direct nature. Nature directs you. And in that environment, how is, you know, documenting what elephants do compared to when you are on other assignments filming other animals?
Yeah, no, every species is different. And I think, you know, once you, I always say that you make a lot of mistakes before you finally get what you're after. Because, you know, once you've seen the behaviors happen enough times, you learn to recognize when it's coming and how to be able to be prepared to get it. And, you know, that's so, for instance, let's say you were filming crocodiles, you know, you really need to hide from crocodiles if they're afraid of people, because, you know, they're very skittish. Whereas, you know, they can't see you. Whereas things like elephants, it doesn't matter if they see you or not. It's more about what they smell. So every animal's got a different sort of thing that they key on, and once you learn what that is, it makes it a lot easier to film them.
When you got the assignment from Cameron to do this, Secrets, were you aiming for? What was on his mind? What was on your mind in terms of illuminating for people who had not seen this kind of behavior with elephants before?
Well, I think there's so many things about elephants that are just absolutely incredibly interesting that are not well known. You know, for instance, here's an example. You know, we know that elephants communicate over long distances in frequencies that we can't hear. And, you know, these are deep, deep sounds that actually penetrate the ground and can travel, you know, up to 10 kilometers. So, you know, that's an incredible, incredible behavior. They can hear those sounds through sensors in their feet. You know, and it's just for, I find it remarkable. You know, the more we learn about these species, the more interesting they become. And I think that's the point with the series, that, you know, there's a lot of things in this show that, you know, Earth first. Like I filmed the birth of an elephant in Namibia. I mean, this is a really rare event. You don't, you know, there hasn't been a baby elephant that survived the 8 years of drought in Namibia, in the desert there. And then there we are, we film one and it's still alive. You know, this is a year later, the thing's thriving. So, but to follow a baby elephant, what it goes through, how it survives in the desert, under the most extreme conditions is amazing stuff and almost never seen before.
What kind of precautions do you take in order to film the kind of elephant behavior you want or that you think will illustrate the secrets, whether it's from you or from Cameron? Because you've done this for so long, are there any tricks of the trade, let's say, that you you deal with, you know, before you start the cameras rolling?
Okay, so there's a lot that goes into pre-production, you know, what you think you're going to get, what you assume you're going to get based on the time of year, what the conditions are, what the elephants are, you know, normally doing during that time. But there's always surprises. And I think the one thing is you just have to be prepared. You got to be prepared for whatever is going to happen. And I think, you know, what we learn over time is that, you know, your cameras just have to be ready always because you never know what's going to happen. You know, for instance, in the deserts episode, there's a birth of an elephant. And, you know, granted, this elephant is like elephants are standing around in the shade. Nothing's really happening. The camera's powered up and on. And suddenly there's a tremendous amount of noise, a pandemonium, and it's like, oh my God, what is going on there? And you're, you know, filming and you discover there's a tiny baby elephant calf that's just been born. I mean, it's incredible. So that's the kind of thing. I mean, if that had happened and your cameras were in a box somewhere or not powered up or, you know, you needed to do a lens change or something like that, you miss it. And that's the thing. You know, you just have to be prepared. You have to be in the right place. And you've got to be ready. And you have to be watching. Yeah.
Was there a secret that wasn't planned that you stumbled on in the course of filming this?
Yeah, you know, this is probably the most powerful one for me because like I said, I filmed a lot of elephants. I had filmed in the desert before in Mali, which is the other side of Africa, in northern Africa and south of the Sahara. And I filmed a population of desert elephants there for National Geographic some years back. And I'd come across the placenta of an elephant. I knew there was a new calf had been born. And I found the calf and the mother. And I filmed it for a day or so. And then the calf started to it just couldn't keep up and it fell down in the desert and I had to stay with it while the mother stayed there and the calf slowly died. And then I had to follow the story of the elephants coming to mourn this calf, which is a really incredible thing that elephants do. They mourn the passing of their dead family members. But anyway, in this desert sequence of Secrets of the Elephants, this little baby calf got left behind. Its mother got left behind from the rest of the family. They were in such need of food and water that they had to travel, and the little baby was too young to keep up. Well, that little calf, I filmed it walking through the heat of the desert sun, like, you know, over 100 degrees in intense heat. The baby walked 45 kilometers, having just nursed like once or twice. I mean, this is just unbelievable. I couldn't have done it. There's no way I could have done it. And this was just a less than 2 day old calf. So that is definitely something that has never been seen before. It just, you know, to survive that. I thought for sure I was going to see another, you know, film the story of another dying elephant calf, but it survived. And it was amazing to see what happened when, you know, the reunion of the family, when the mother showed up with this little baby calf. You know, I think the whole rest of the herd was just astonished that calf had survived.
Mm-hmm. Secrets of the Elephants. It's the new National Geographic Channel miniseries, and it premieres this Friday night. Narrated by Natalie Portman, executive produced by James Cameron of Avatar and Titanic fame. And it's at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Pacific on National Geographic, available on smart on cable and satellite. And then the next day, it will go on Hulu and Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. Bob Poole is the director of photography on the series. He joins us live from Sun Valley, California this half hour here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Sun Avenue with you live from New York on what is now becoming a very sunny Monday afternoon, 62 degrees at this very moment. You have a question or comment or main match with Bob, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And you can catch me in persona this Wednesday on Sports News Wire. That's the Sports News Daily Information Show. And you can find it on Sports Grid Network at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. It's available on smart TV sets, smart devices, and bundles like Amazon Freevee and others. Probably we'll be talking about the world of TV sports, certainly that. And probably we'll talk about the USFL's opening weekend, how it dealt with against the XFL. We'll talk NBA playoffs. We'll talk about the NFL draft that is coming up on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network, and other sports TV topics as well, including my conversation last week with the people at Telemundo about their plans for the Women's World Cup soccer tournament this summer in Australia and New Zealand. It's all coming up on Sports News Wire. I'll be on Wednesday. The show is on Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Sports Grid Network. Bob, you not only shot this series in Africa, but in Asia and other, I believe, other continents as well. How is elephant behavior different from, let's say, one continent to another, or from a desert environment to a forest environment?
So desert elephants are actually savanna elephants, species of elephants in Africa. So you have the savanna elephants, and then you have forest elephants. And, you know, it was only, say, in the last 10 years that they made the distinction as a separate species. And but they are really quite remarkably different, not just in the way they look, but also in their behavior. You know, I would say that, you know, the thing about filming forest elephants is that you have to do it on foot. And that's very dangerous. You know, they're hunted, you know, they always been hunted in the forest. And so they, you know, they're not comfortable with people. And so it's a dangerous job. And a lot of the camera work that was done for, I didn't work on the forest elephant sequence for this series, but I have done a lot of it in the past. And so you really have to do a lot of, you know, shooting from elevated platforms in the trees and remote camera stuff. And, of course, on this one, with all the modern technology and remote cameraing, they did a lot of that. In fact, they had some cameras that got pretty hammered, apparently, by elephants on that shoot. So, but, yeah, it's remarkable stuff. And working in the forest is, of course, you know, just a whole different thing, you know, where it's wet and you know, a lot of bugs, and, you know, it can be really uncomfortably hot too, but a different kind of heat than working in the desert. However, what the thing is that wherever you go across Africa and Asia, elephants are different. And even if they're of the same species, the way that they interact, you know, the way that they are to people is, you know, based on the experiences that they've had with people in the past. You know, elephants, of course, have tremendous memories. And the way they react to bad experiences that they might have had when they see, you know, a film crew, it just depends. Like, for instance, the desert elephants are so calm and relaxed because, you know, they just don't have the energy there to deal with something that they perceive as not a threat. So for us filming the desert elephants, it was amazing. I mean, sometimes you just wish they would, you know, they would sometimes come so close that you would wish that they would back off a little bit, because our lenses, we typically use these giant lenses, you know, they're basically 50 millimeters to 1,000. And, you know, the wide side of that 50 millimeters is not very wide when you get a giant elephant standing next to you. So, yeah, I mean, elephants in East Africa were very different also than the desert elephants. Again, they have plenty of food in the savanna in East Africa. That wasn't an issue for them. Water was plentiful. So it's really, the behavior was much more about, you know, in that case, it was a lot about mating and interesting facts about males that we didn't know, you know, up until recently, that they have these lifelong bonds with other males, and they go on, they spend half their year sort of just off in these little bull groups. So it's, yeah, all kinds of fascinating stuff, and all totally different wherever you go.
What is James Cameron like to work with as an executive producer, given that this is a different environment than what he usually does as a filmmaker, whether he's doing an epic like Titanic or his current major project, the Avatar films?
Yeah, so, you know, I was never with James in the field, just in retrospect, being with him, you know, at the end of the series. And he was just lovely, lovely man, you know, super complimentary of, you know, the work that we did. And, I mean, he was great and really positive about you know, doing more for conservation and bringing, you know, bringing these films to light, you know, so people can start to understand more about these incredible animals. You know, it's once you start to love these things that you really want to protect them. And, you know, animals like elephants are in trouble across the planet. You know, wherever they are, there are very few places where there's, you know, where they're 100% safe. And, you know, I think it's going to take people really caring about them and understanding their behavior to really save them.
Mm-hmm. When all said and done, when people see this entire miniseries, what do you hope viewers take away that they might not understand now about what elephants are all about, how they live, how they, as you mentioned earlier, how they mourn for their dead, how they exist on this planet?
I think what people will, people watch this series, what they'll come away with is that elephants are so much like us. You know, they have so many of the same emotions. And elephants really, I say they wear their emotions on their sleeves, and that, you know, it's really, once you start looking at elephants, you can really understand, like, what emotions they're having. You know, if they can be funny. I mean, they sort of have a sense of understanding themselves. They do goofy things, and it's almost like they're laughing, you know. But at the same time, you know, like I said, they mourn for their dead, and they take care of elephants that are not even from, you know, their own family. They live long lives, and they care more. They care about, of course, their own offspring, but they also look out for, you know, all others, and it's. Yeah, they're just, they're really special. They really are. That's what makes them so much fun to film, and I think that's why, you know, these 4 hours are just really super interesting.
Secrets of the Elephants, executive produced by Oscar winner James Cameron, narrated by Oscar winner Natalie Portman. It all starts this Friday as an Earth Day attraction on National Geographic Channel. That's Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Pacific Time on National Geographic. It's available on cable and satellite. Check your local listings for where Nat Geo is available in your area. For more details about the program online, you can go to naturalgeographic.com. It's naturalgeographic.com. And then the next day, Saturday, it'll run both on Hulu and Disney Plus, available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. For more details about both services online, go to www.disneyplus.com and hulu.com. That's www.disneyplus.com and hulu.com. It all starts Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, Secrets of the Elephants on National Geographic. Bob Poole, Director of Photography on the series, thank you for joining us. Congratulations to you and your fellow crew and everybody involved in making this miniseries happen, and all the very best to you in your future efforts to document the natural world for all of us viewers.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure, Bob. Take care. All the greatest. Enjoy the week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bob Poole, Director of Photography on Secrets of the Elephants, joining us live from Sun Valley, California. We are just getting started with this Nature and Natural World edition of Tawabi Televised. Coming up in our next half hour, you'll meet the two people behind a company that just started a new network dealing with animal rescues, specifically dog rescues. It's nonprofit, where if you pay for the service, the money goes to animal rescue efforts. Andrew Greenberger and Billy Cooper from Early Release Media join us live from Los Angeles. And coming up in our SF Hour, our brand new classic trivia question and prize. Stay tuned. You could be our second trivia winner in a row. So be sure to join us. It all kicks off after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Travel Itch Radio. It's a great guide to what's going on in this world of ours. Travel Itch Radio, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second 30 minutes of this 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised on a beautiful Monday afternoon as it's turning out here in New Haven, York. 65 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Sam, I'm with you live from New Haven, York. Good to have you with us. More great guests coming away in the 60 minutes ahead, so be part of the program. Make a call, and the number you use is 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name, our super fan from Philadelphia. Rick Webb is already in the room. As I mentioned, if some of you just joining us beforehand, this is an episode dealing with all things nature or the natural world. And our second 30 minutes deals with a new subscription video on demand service that launched last week called Rabbit Reality. It was put together by the people behind the long-running Animal Planet series Pitbulls and Paroli. Tia Torres, who's one of the key people in that, is the main person who put this together. What you might not know is that the subscription video on demand service is the kind of service that is nonprofit. In other words, if you pay for the service, and there's different levels of service, the money goes to animal rescue efforts. It's all put together by an interesting company called Early Release Media. And joining us live from Los Angeles, the two co-partners of this venture, Andrew Greenberger and Billy Cooper. Andrew and Billy, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Andrew, I'll start with you. How did you two get together and form this?
Well, I was the original showrunner of Pitbulls and Parolees, developed it from its inception through the pilot, through the first two seasons. We really started to hit our stride when I made what I consider to be the greatest hire in the history of the entertainment industry, hiring Billy Cooper to first run post for us. And then when I left the show, Billy took over. And last year he returned the favor by hiring me onto this new endeavor that that Tia wanted to start when Pitbulls and Parolees ended its run on Animal Planet.
Billy, why do you think this series had a long run on Animal Planet? What about it really hit home with the viewers?
I mean, I think, you know, Simon, the real reason behind the success of Pitbulls and Parolees was that at the end of the day, the show was a show with a heart, and it was a show that was authentic. And Tia and her kids and the Parolees and the work that Tia was doing with the dogs, no matter what happened, you could always tell it was genuine and it was real. And the show had, you know, we always felt like if you cried by the end of the episode, we did our job. It was, you know, you cried happy tears, you cried sad tears, you know, Tia and her kids, and they ran, you know, the gamut of emotions doing the work that they do, and it's hard work. And so I think the show captured that in a way that was pretty special and unique.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk.
And it resonated with viewers.
How this venture works. Andrew, we'll go to you on this. What is the objective of Early Release, and what does it want to do beyond Rabbit Reality?
So, not at the risk of sounding a bit cheesy, the slogan for Early Release Media is content with a conscience. And we really mean that and stand behind it. You know, just because you can do something in reality television doesn't always mean that you should. And we kind of start with that question when we look at any type of content. You know, at the end of the day, Billy and I, we both consider ourselves documentary filmmakers. Super flattered to be included with the other documentary filmmakers that you're talking to today. So the mission of Early Release Media is to tell authentic stories that have a positive catharsis, that inspire people as opposed to, you know, train wreck television and things like that. The website Rabbit Reality exists
to service our audience. We are very aware that there's an audience for the type of real stories that we're telling that viewers can't find on linear television today. Or I should say, it's a lot harder to find on linear television today. So by downsizing, by focusing on more of a niche audience, we're able to service them and service their needs in terms of content. So we take that really seriously. We don't take that lightly. Really trying to provide quality, authentic content that entertains as much as it informs.
Mm-hmm. And Billy, when it comes to Rabid Reality, which is the first TV project, and what a TV project, it's an on-demand service at different levels, how long did it take from inception to getting it on the air last week?
To give you a good sense of what we're doing, Rabid Reality is our own network. So this was Tia's vision that she sort of tasked Andrew and me with bringing to life. And it's basically, we're at it a year. And Tia started this, we used the platform, the Patreon platform, which, if you're not familiar, is a subscription-based platform to start to grow our audience. We were doing small shows, web series, podcasts, video podcasts, and the like. But the thing with Patreon was it's a somewhat complicated interface. And Tia, being Tia and being very smart, wanted to sort of do something for her audience, knowing her audience as well as she does, to make it more simplified and give the audience, present the content to them in a way that's familiar. If you look at our website, it structurally looks like any of the streaming services that when you go, the bigger platforms, the Netflixes, the HBO Max, the Hulus, where it's easy to find the various shows. They're all grouped according to the type of content. They're all grouped according to seasons and that sort of thing. So in that sense, what we've done is in a year, we've built our own, we do like to joke, it's Tia Flix. It's Netflix for Tia's audience.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with the two people behind the new subscription video on demand service, Rabid Reality, that is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and also its own website as well. And it's a subscription on demand service where, depending on how much you pay to get the monthly content, all the money that you pay goes to animal rescue efforts, specifically at the Bill Loveless Rescue Center. That's the center that was involved in the long-running Animal Planet series, Pitbull and Paroli. We're speaking with co-partners Andrew Greenberger and Billy Cooper, and they're both with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Live, you're with us, too, on this Monday afternoon. Simon Abbott with you live from New York, 55 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Love to hear from you, so let the phone ring from you, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And coming up at the top of the hour, brand new classic trivia question. We're going for our second week win in a row with a brand new prize that we'll be offering for the first time. So get your TV trivia caps on, because you could be our next winner. That's coming up before the top of the hour. And after the top of the hour, we'll be joined by J.J. Johnson. He is the creator, executive producer, and park director of the new Apple TV Plus series, Jane, inspired by the iconic Dr. Jane Goodall that premiered this past Friday. Andrew, how does Rabid Reality work? I understand that there are different levels of service, and depending on which level you subscribe to every month, you get a certain amount of content. So take us from basic level to highest level.
So we have kind of what we describe as three levels of content. We have audio podcasts, and then we have video versions of those audio podcasts. And then we have what we call premium series. And so at the basic level, what we call the Tia Talk level, is just access to the podcast. So if you're the type of person that loves animal-related podcasts, that's the level that you would want to be at. Moving up to the Lucky Dog tier, the video versions of those podcasts, which we like to think really adds another layer to it, to be able to see the faces of the people that are talking. And then in addition to the Lucky Dog level, you also get access to Life with the Underdogs, which is our most important show on our platform. It is the continuing adventures of Pipples and Parolees. So you get that at the $5 level as well. Then moving up to what we call the rescue dog tier, you basically get access to all the premium series. We have a really fun show called The Big Easy Boys, which follows two of the longest running parolees on the show, Tony and Earl. The premise there is they grew up in New Orleans, but in their youth, they were so busy getting into trouble, they didn't get to do all the touristy things that most people take for granted in New Orleans. So they're going back and taking a swamp tour, taking a riverboat cruise, eating at some of the more famous institutions in New Orleans. It's a great show. I'm not sure there are many other travelogue series that you'll find yourself with a lump in your throat at the end of the episode. It's really emotional. And then at the top of the tier, we have our underdog level, which gives you access to all the content, but also merchandise, T-shirts, private one-on-one events with Tia, the ability to message Tia. So we've really tried to create a subscription level that works for everyone where they're at. And, of course, most importantly, whatever level you subscribe at, it's 100% tax deductible because it is a donation to Villalobos Rescue Center, and all the profits go right back into supporting the people and animals of Villalobos Rescue Center.
Mm-hmm. Billy, what smart TV sets and smart devices are taking the service, and what has been the viewer response so far in terms of subscribing?
The viewer response has been great. We are doing really well on subscriptions. Obviously, we appreciate you coming, bringing us on so we can continue to get the word out. In terms of the smart TV apps, we're going to be rolling out on Apple TV first and foremost, and then sort of getting it out to the other. We're going to start with the Amazon Fire Stick. That's going to be then, you know, from there you can get it to all the Google Play Store and all the other apps as well. And then in addition to that, we're rolling out a mobile app that'll be available for iOS and for Android.
Mm-hmm. And what about Samsung, Vizio, LG, Panasonic, the smart Roku, the other smart TV set and device makers?
Yeah, we're talking with all of them, both in terms of just getting Rabbit Reality on their platforms as an app, but also in some cases about having our own Rabbit Reality channels on their networks.
And Andrew, how involved is Tia Torres involved in the service? What is sort of how does she help shape the content or shape the dog rescue efforts and the whole 10 yards of the venture?
She's involved at every level that you can imagine. Billy and I are the luckiest producers in television because we have a host talent that understands her audience so well because she is the audience, and she's able to communicate that to us in a way that allows us to really service our audience. And I know I must sound like a broken record by, you know, emphasizing this point of servicing our audience, but it's so important to us. And quite frankly, I feel like it's an area where linear television has maybe lost its way a little bit and has forgotten that they're in a service industry. We have an audience. It's our job to give them what they want, to educate and to inform them. We couldn't do that without Tia. She is indispensable in that. For that,
I mean, Simon, here to piggyback on what Andrew was saying. You know, Tia is, you know, if there was a network which we've created, Tia is the head of our network. She watches every cut of every show that we do. She responds to all of the emails. She's involved in the design of the website. She's involved in the design of the app. She, you know, when something goes wrong and something isn't right, there's a typo, she's the first one to tell us. So, you know, I mean, coming from our background where Andrew and I were used to working for every network you could think of, you know, we're now working for the most unique network executive you could ever imagine. So network head, and her name is Tia.
Yeah.
Billy, staying with you, aside from the opportunity for some subscribers who take the higher tiers to buy merchandise, are there other ways that the subscriber can be involved in a more intimate way with the channel, either as an opportunity, let's say, to be a volunteer on dog rescue efforts, whether from your organization,
yes,
this center, or place maybe closer to them, or to be involved in other animal rescue efforts, or to maybe use as part of a tip line so that you get word of here's a rescue effort that we think you ought to pay attention to and maybe even cover?
No, absolutely. You know, Villalobos Rescue Center has a very, very robust website that you can find at vrcpitbull.com. It's linked to our website off of rabidreality.com. But the rescue efforts, you can volunteer, go walk dogs if they're in New Orleans. Not that we want to necessarily say it's a tourist attraction, but a lot of people have made the pilgrimage to New Orleans to specifically go and visit the warehouse where we filmed the show for all those years and walk dogs that they've seen on the show. You can do that. You can also, in addition to subscribing to our content, if you want to make an additional donation to Villalobos, you can do that through their website. And then, of course, obviously, we encourage, if you want to get involved locally, there are various networks and ways to do that in terms of finding other rescue groups. One of our shows, Life with the Underdogs, which is, you know, as Andrew mentioned, our signature show, we feature other rescue groups that Tia and Villalobos have started to network with. I mean, the dog problem, the stray dog problem in Louisiana is very, very, it's a big problem.
Heartbreak.
And it's heartbreak, and it's not going away. But what Tia's been able to do is she's networked with other rescue groups in other parts of the country where the stray dog problem isn't as prevalent. And she'll transport, you know, a dozen dogs at a time to these other rescue groups, and then they work and get the dogs up on their websites and networks, and then they get them adopted out. And so it's been a unique thing for us to be able to do, to go beyond the borders of Villalobos and feature other rescue groups. We were sort of bound by what the stories we could tell when we were doing Pitbulls and Parolees, and had to be Villalobos-centric. And so we know there's a very large rescue world out there. And so Tia's sort of made it her mission as part of her – to share her platform. And she sort of, adopted the it takes a village, especially when it comes to dog rescue. So that's another great aspect of what we're doing now.
Yeah. For either of you, obviously here in New York and other parts of the country, we are now finally in the next normal era post-coronavirus pandemic. Are you still dealing with coronavirus issues in New Orleans where you are?
Yes. No, coronavirus obviously has made things complicated in many ways. I mean, from a production standpoint, our final two seasons of Pitbulls and Parolees were made in the height of the pandemic, and so that was unique and on its own. But what coronavirus did in the rescue world was it created everybody was at home and everybody went out and said, hey, I'm going to adopt a dog. And now that we're post-COVID, all of those dogs that people adopted are now back in shelters. And so shelters across the country are feeling the pinch and feeling the squeeze. And Tia is, and Villalobos is very much a part of that and trying to help solve that problem. So coronavirus has definitely become impacted everything.
We're speaking with Andrew Greenberger and Billy Cooper. They are the co-partners of Early Release Media behind the new subscription video on demand service, Rabid Reality. It is now playing on some smart TV sets and devices, others to come. And they're both with us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, I'm with you live from New York, 65 degrees near the top of the hour. Question for my many minutes with Andrew and Billy. Make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First of three episodes we're doing this week on the program All About TV's Current and Future. We're back with you on Thursday and Friday at our regular start time, 3 p.m. Eastern in the Pacific. Stay tuned to our social media outreach on Facebook and Twitter for the details on our specific guests and topics. And, by the way, if you are a new listener to the program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, Anytime you like, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And immediately after our programs, within seconds, we are also running on our podcast sites. And we have a great lineup and growing lineup of podcast people. Everybody from Spotify, iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Acast, Odyssey, one of our newest affiliates, and others as well. So check those out and our website, tomorrowwillbetelevised.onpodium.com. That's tomorrowwillbetelevised.com. tomorrowwillbetelevised.com. And you'll find our recent episodes there, and hope you enjoy them. And if you do, email me. Let me know, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum, and Twitter at UBC Simon. TWBT. Andrew, I know it's still early in the run of the service, but are you starting to hear from other animal rescue organizations who'd like to maybe at some point be part of this, and B, independent producers who would like to create content for you?
Yeah. I mean, in fact, Big Easy Boys, the show that I was talking about earlier, was conceived by and pitched to us by a former executive producer on the Animal Planet series. And, I mean, I'll let Billy tell the story, but I know he took a lot of pride in calling that producer and telling her, congratulations, you sold a series.
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% correct. Yeah, the executive producer on the show is a woman named Jen Bees Duffy, and Jen was an executive producer with me on Pibbles and Pearlies for half a dozen years, and she... When she found out what we were doing, she said, I have this idea featuring Earl Moffat and Tony Converse, two of our most beloved parolees. And I took it to Tia. We had a conversation about it. And lo and behold, we greenlit a show. And we went into production. And we've now produced the first season is just finished airing. We're about to launch. We're about to drop a special extended episode where Earl and Tony did their version of Mardi Gras. They sort of saw Mardi Gras through the local New Orleans eyes. You know, Mardi Gras for everybody outside New Orleans is one thing, but for the locals, it's something particularly different and special. And so we were able to showcase that. And yes, we've had other producers who we've worked with previously reach out to us, say that they have ideas. We're you know, trying to roll them out carefully and slowly and be smart about what we're going to produce. But yeah, for the most part, we're open for business. And, you know, Simon, one thing I did want to also touch on, early release media, one of the other sort of great things about the idea behind the production company is Tia wanted us and empowered Andrew and I to follow her model that she created for Pitbulls and Parolees, which was teaching guys fresh, you know, newly out of prison, giving them job skills and life skills. And one of the tenets of Early Release Media, which is a nonprofit as well, is we're hiring men and women who are just out of prison and giving them an opportunity to learn about the entertainment business, learn about television production, podcast production, radio production. You know, creativity comes from everywhere. And so we should not be minimizing voices just because they've had what they did in the past. So Tia, you know, Amen. Has sort of been open to that, and so are we.
Billy, speaking of openness, are you open to corporate sponsorship? You know, there's a lot of advertisers who either are dog food advertisers or chains like PetSmart, Petco, the Farmer's Dog, the food delivery service that might be involved in, and that's just in the area of dog food or dogs.
Do you know? Yeah, Simon, do you know any? Yeah, we are absolutely open to sponsors. No, actually, so one of our shows, the show that I co-host with Tia, which is Pitbulls, Parolees, and a Producer, which is a recap series about, so Tia and I have gone back into the archives and we sort of talked through every single episode of the show. Currently, we just launched season three. We actually have a sponsor right now that we found and contacted. It's a company
Let's
called
give
Paw
them
Power
a shout
Nutrition.
Out.
Yeah, Paw Power Nutrition. They make peanut butter for dogs, dog butter, and it sort of takes out the harmful chemicals that, you know, aren't great for dogs, but we as humans love them. So, yeah. So sponsors are, you know, obviously we want to be mindful of our audience and do something that's going to be helpful for them. But yeah, and on the, I think on the horizon, we have a potential sponsor. We can't announce it just yet, but we have a potential sponsor on our new show that's going to be a pretty big deal for us. So we're very excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Simon, I just want to add some of the more encouraging.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please. Don't let me stomp on your show.
No stomping at all. Go ahead. You had a thought to finish.
I just, you know, some of the positive feedback that we've gotten from sponsors has been that because our content is organic and real and not exploitative, not train wreck TV, believe it or not, there's more of an interest from the sponsors to be associated with that kind of programming than, say, some of the more scandalous stuff on television. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but for the types of advertisers that we're reaching out to, they want to be associated with more organic, good-feeling content.
All right, there we go. See, got the thought in and added to the discussion, which is really, really great. Again, if you want to find out more about Rabbit Reality, that's the subscription video on demand service. It is now available on Apple TV, other smart TV sets, and devices to come. Here's where you go online, www.rabbit, that's R-A-B-I-D, reality, one phrase, .com, www.rabbitreality.com. And if you want to find out more about the production company behind this venture, that's Early Release Media, they have their own website, earlyreleasemedia.com. That's earlyreleasemedia.com. Either way, you'll be tuned in to what these folks are up to and where they are going with this venture. Andrew Greenberger, Billy Cooper, thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on launching Rabbit Reality. And I have a hunch we're going to have more from you, both with this service and other ventures you've got in your production company in the months ahead. And we really appreciate both of you coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Andrew and Billy. Take care. Enjoy the week ahead. Make it great. Andrew Greenberger and Billy Cooper joining us live from Los Angeles. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. Brand new question, brand new prize. We're looking for our second weekly win in a row. And if you first email the correct answer, you will win the brand new book, Retroactive Television, by our recent guest, Herbie J. Pilato. He writes great books about all sorts of TV projects, from Bewitched to Mary Tyler Moore. Retroactive TV is his latest. He was on our show 2 weeks ago, and it was one of our best episodes of the year so far in terms of your listening. So once again, Retroactive TV, the new book by Herbie J. Pilato, who next week has his special on Bewitched coming next week, as he said in that interview. That's coming up next week, I believe, on April 26th. And again, Retroactive TV, that book can be yours if you know the answer to this question. What 1978 NBC mini or maxi series co-starred Robert Conrad, Richard Chamberlain, and Sally Kellerman? What 1978 NBC miniseries, some call it a maxi series, co-starred Robert Conrad, Richard Chamberlain, and Sally Kellerman? That's the question. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If your first correct answer, you'll win the brand new book by Herbie J. Pilato, Retroactive Television. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. If you are a previous winner or if you are a guest in this program, you are not eligible. One more time, here's the question. What 1978 NBC mini or maxi series co-starred Robert Conrad, Richard Chamberlain, and Sally Kellerman? Know the answer? Get that email going. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so. And, of course, all the very best. When we come back, news, no quickies, and then we will have J.J. Johnson, the creator, executive producer, director, and a lot of other things, of the brand-new Apple TV Plus series, Jane, inspired by Dr. Jane Goodell. He will join us live from Toronto after we pause at the bottom of the, at the top of the hour, that's top of the hour, for web identification. You listen to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 80 million listeners around the world every month and growing. On BTR tonight, you can catch the Possum Hour at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. It's a unique entertainment hour you won't want to miss. Possum Hour tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Monday afternoon, the 17th of April, 2023. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. 65 degrees at the top of the hour. Beautiful sunny skies right now. It was overcast for most of the day. And then around 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun started peeking out. Clouds started to come. And now it's a gorgeous day here in the Big Apple. One more great guest for you coming up this half hour. And if you have a question or comment for that guest, you know what to do. Make a call. The number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. And if you're shy about the phone, no problem with us. Use the chat room. It's available right now. Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, already in. Simon Apple 04 is the name of the room. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can connect those by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio speaker TuneIn screen. Follow those instructions, and I'll see you live with you. J.J. Johnson from Jane on Apple TV Plus, live from Toronto, Canada, after some news note quickies. Freeform, top-rated original Cruel Summer comes back for Season 2, June 5th. Another Season 2 return, Dwayne Wade hosted The Cube, May 14th on TBS. Award-winning actor Benedict Cumberbatch's next TV undertaking will be miniseries How to Stop Time, based on the best-selling novel by Matt Haig. Controversial HBO drama series The Idol, involving Abel the Weeknd Testafay on and off camera, premieres June 4th. Over at HBO Max, adult animated saga Fired on Mars will debut this Thursday. Universal Television has landed format rights to Destination X, a travel adventure competition being co-developed with the BBC. No word yet on where it will run. Sonic the Hedgehog spin-off series Knuckles is a go for Paramount Plus. Episodes of live-action production started filming in London earlier this month. Reasonable Doubt, Onyx Collective's lawyer drama hour for Hulu, will continue for a second season. And for this season, Morris Chestnut, will join the cast. And long-running talent showcased in Spanish, Tengo Talento, Mucho Talento, kicks off a spring season of episodes tonight on Estrella TV. And that is News Notes for now. On Friday, this past Friday to be exact, Apple TV Plus launched what may be one of its most unique series for any audience around this year. I know it's only less than 4 months into 2023, but this certainly will be, when the record is written for the year, definitely one of the most unique on that service or anywhere. It is called Jane. It's a service that combines animation, live-action scripted, and unscripted documentary all in each episode. And it's inspired by the work of one of the great iconic people in the world of nature, natural history, natural television, Dr. Jane Goodall. The program is produced by Thinking Chip Entertainment. They're the people behind a wonderful world of Emmy and Peabody and Oscar and award-winning programs from such as Ghost Rider, Odd Squad, and Dino Dan, among many others. And they're also working on a very unique animation project we'll talk about later on in the half hour. Joining us live from Toronto, Canada, where Thinking Chip is located, the creator, executive producer, director, etc. of Jane, J.J. Johnson. Welcome in, J.J.
What an intro. Thank you, Simon. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. First of all, what's been the reaction so far from viewers and critics to Jane?
I mean, truthfully, we just launched on Friday, and the reviews have been incredible. We got a great write-up by the New York Times and the AV Club, and I think there was a real yearning for a show like this that was speaking to, you know, some of the environmental challenges that we're facing, but doing it in a way that you know, Dr. Jane Goodall is so well known for, which is to be hopeful about it and not to just be like, you know, there's no way out of this. She really does offer kind of concrete steps that we can all take, and we really wanted to kind of emulate that message in this show.
How did Goodall, who has been part of the television world ever since National Geographic first showcased her work back in the 1960s when National Geographic special on CBS, how did she inspire this series?
You know, as a kid growing up in the 80s, that felt like a moment where the environment was on everyone's mind. And I remember feeling really anxious and kind of sad about what was going on in the planet, because it just, you know, that was when there was an ozone hole and we were losing species. And it was all of these kind of discussions of chemicals in the environment and plastics in the oceans. And it really felt overwhelming. And it was when I stumbled upon people like Dr. Jane Goodall or David Suzuki, and learning about people that were out in the world doing everything they could to try to safeguard the planet that just made me feel a lot safer. And so when I started to have my own kids and suddenly realized the planet they were inheriting and feeling that same kind of anxious energy, Dr. Goodall and her institute were the first people I turned to because, she's got this incredible network. Her Roots and Shoots charity, which is focused on youth, is in something like 60-plus countries. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that we were making a show that would hopefully be inspirational, but that we also had a partner then that kids and families, if they were so inspired, could go to actually learn concrete steps of what they can do to help out both in their neighborhood and around the planet.
As you were developing this series to its premiere last week, was it this ambitious all along to combine elements of scripted live action, scripted animation, unscripted documentary or mini doc all along, or did the elements sort of come together somewhere along the development process?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for me, development is always kind of letting an idea marinate and really thinking about how to get the audience excited about, in this case, the natural world. There's this one quote from Dr. Goodall that I stumbled upon kind of early in the development, and it's this idea that only if we understand will we care, only if we care will we help, only if we help can animals be saved. And that kind of started to at least give some structure or definition to what the episodes were, like, because I believe in what she's saying. If we don't understand about these animals, we're not going to care. And if we don't care, we're not going to try to help them. And so it was trying to kind of come up with this action-adventure series that kicks off with these fantastical adventures that slowly kind of bleed into the real world and eventually start to cause real-world changes. We also wanted to showcase a little girl who is inspired by Dr. Goodall, but is an activist in training. She's trying to figure out how to find her own voice, and she's anxious and concerned about the world. And so you see her play that out, like that anxiety. And sometimes she gets upset with people, and that's not the way to convince people to get them on your side. So it's also at the same time as we're trying to get kids and families passionate about animals, we're also trying to show kids, A, that their voices are important, and how to kind of nuance that voice to make sure that you're effectively bringing people over to your side.
Were you also inspired by any of the classic shows of the late 50s, 60s, early 70s, like, for example, Sea Hunt and Flipper and Cowboy in Africa and Gentle Ben, Primus, many of them done by the great Ivan Tors, that focused, had a nature, natural world, treat the animals, Daktari, show that treat the animals with respect.
Yeah, sadly, a little bit before my time, although I am going to look up some of those shows now. We kind of operate under a principle at Sinking Ship of excite, entertain, and educate. It is so competitive out there, justifiably for kids' attention. And if you're doing a show with a message, we need to make sure that visually this is as exciting as you would see in any kind of feature, that it's got, that it's entertaining, that there's humor throughout so that kids are going to stay along, and that there's some sort of takeaway, which for us is like, would you tell your best friend about it, basically, is what we're, trying to hope for. So that's kind of the mixture of feelings we want kids to go through as they watch this show. And it was really important for us, A, that this be live action, because, if you want kids and families to be excited about the real world, it's imperative that you show them the real world and as well show them these terrific animals. I mean, obviously the animals in our show are CG because our lead character wants to help them. She's put in situations where she's trying to, put a tracking collar on a polar bear so she can figure out their behavior, or pull a net out of a blue whale's mouth. Like, they're really kind of these intense situations, but it's deliberately to mirror some of the threats that are actually facing these animals and what scientists and conservationists in the field are actually doing to try to help them.
We're talking with J.J. Johnson. He is the creator, executive producer, co-writer, director of Jane, the new Apple TV Plus series that premiered this past Friday. Jane is now available on Apple TV Plus through smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles. And if you have a question or comment for J.J., joins us live from Toronto, Canada, the home of this production company, Sinking Ship Entertainment. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First of three episodes we're doing this week on the program All About TV's Current and Future. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. We'll be back on Thursday and Friday, same time at start time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on tomorrow will be televised on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and TuneIn Radio. So, JJ, let's go through the series. What's it all about? Who is Jane? That's the heroine. And what makes her tick in terms of trying to deal with the natural world?
Yeah, so she's a 9-year-old girl that desperately wants to help animals. She's a budding naturalist herself. But she kind of lives in the middle of nowhere and is in a kind of, you know, nameless city in North America, and so she can't directly help them. And so she imagines these situations where she is able to travel the world in her mind and try to save these animals. And she brings along her friend David, as well as her stuffy Greybeard, which is obviously a nod to a fairly significant chimpanzee in Dr. Goodall's life named David Greybeard, which is a stuffy that comes to life magically and is a chimpanzee that also helps them. And so each episode kicks off with them in some, you know, whether they've shrunk down to in a vehicle to figure out why bee colonies are collapsing, or they're in Africa tracking down rhinos to see what's, you know, the threats facing them. And as we kind of track them, we see these imaginative adventures. They snap out of them, and they're clearly playing in the real world. But they bump into their neighbors. They live in an apartment complex, and so they bump into neighbors that, you know, either aren't interested in the environment or don't feel like them doing anything would have a big difference. And ultimately, through each episode, as well as helping the animal, we kind of see this social story where she's changing someone's mind in her community.
Mm-hmm. Another thing about this show, it's very diverse, both on and off camera. The writing team, the directing team, and the person who plays Jane, her name is Ava Louise Murchison. She's 11 years old. She is from Canada. She is Filipino and Mexican. And this is not the first time you've worked with her, because I understand that she was part of Odd Squad, which is another one of your very popular shows that is carried here in the States on public television.
Yes, yes. No, I mean, you know, we really want kids to see themselves accurately represented on screen. So making sure that we have diverse casts has been, you know, in Sinking Ship's DNA since our very beginning. And it extends beyond just diversity of talent. We want to make sure that our behind-the-scenes crews represent the kids that are on our shows. And we also want economic diversity. You know, there's a lot of kids shows that they talk about them being, you know, that kids want to see the lives they want to lead. And so it's a lot of, you know, big homes and kids being famous. And I think it's really important that kids also see kids that want to be scientists and kids that want to save the world, and that money is an issue. You know, for most of the kids in on the planet, money is something that can really hold you back. It certainly was something that, you know, my family had to deal with. It's something that is a barrier also to helping the environment. If you have to choose between cheap food or something else, you're going to choose cheap food if you've got some economic hardship. So we just want to make sure that, you know, we're showing as many different lifestyles as we can so that our audience feels seen, and at the same time also see that there are characters that are doing something great for, you know, something kind of beyond themselves.
Mm-hmm. And how does each episode get produced? Do you start with the live action first, then throw in then to the animation, the documentary afterward? How do you what is sort of the modus operandi of putting each episode together?
Yeah, it's definitely the live action comes first. I mean, you know, we knew heading into this one that we have done a lot of shows with, like you mentioned, Dino Dana that has dinosaurs. We did a series called Endlings, which had various aliens. But, you know, this one had to be photoreal, so we really needed to upgrade our VFX in-house, and that's fortunately led by Matt Bishop, who's one of the executive producers and partners at Sinking Ship. And I think they've really done it. Like, they've added vehicles so that we can shrink to any size. We've got submarines so we can go underwater to get up close with great white sharks or blue whales. So absolutely starts with the live-action piece. And some of that, you know, we were fortunate to be able to shoot in Kenya and Costa Rica and Calgary and Canada to cheat for various environments, but we didn't want it to be green screen. We wanted to physically be in those spaces. The VFX process takes about 8 months, just again because of the complexity of what we were doing. You know, in some scenes you've got a VFX chimpanzee interacting with, you know, VFX tigers that are chasing him. So there was a lot that was kind of on the go. At the same time, we also wanted to have these kind of pseudo-documentary pieces where we could meet in the same way that Dr. Goodall, you know, made me feel safer as a kid. We wanted to introduce a fleet of who's out there right now that are working to specifically help the animals that we see in each episode. And so we were able to pull together this incredible kind of diverse group of people from all over the world, like Jill Heinerth, who's a leader in polar bear conservation, Dr. Asha DeVos, who's one of the top conservationists for blue whales, you know, just these incredible individuals that we could showcase. And so at the end of each episode, our Jane character, still in character, reaches out to them because she has kind of an additional question or she wants some clarification on what the adventure she was just in. And she basically has a Zoom call with them. Those, in terms of production, we were bringing those individuals on as early as we could because obviously their kind of expertise and eyes on the script are always helpful. We kind of do like a pre-interview with them so we could get a sense of what they wanted to say, and then we would loosely script it because it was still, you know, for our characters in character, we would kind of take what interview had gotten. We have this incredible documentary producer, Tiffany Xiang, who would have lengthy conversations with all of these individuals so that we could try to mine it for some really interesting story points that we think would be helpful to our kid audience. And it's really in those documentaries that we're able to provide, you know, solid, concrete examples of what viewers can do to help that particular animal.
Mm-hmm. Something else about this series that a lot of people might not know about, and it's sort of a special treat, is that who you have doing your theme song. There's a theme song called One Step Closer, and it was put together by the Oscar-nominated, some would call the Susan Lucci of Oscar-nominated songwriters, Diane Warren, and Leona Lewis performs it. How were you able to get them?
Well, I mean, Diane Warren, to her credit, her team reached out when we had our first press release out, and I, you know, was absolutely aware of her. As I, you know, did some additional research, I had no idea just how many hit songs she has won. And I think you read that she's been nominated 14 times for an Oscar. I think this year maybe she got an honorary Oscar, and it's so deserving. And
she also was nominated for an Oscar this year. She was also nominated for an Oscar for one of her songs too.
There you go. So, you know, she's just this incredible talent. And she's a big animal lover, and so wanted to come out and help. And I was, you know, when I spoke to her the first time to kind of discuss the character and the show, I was, you know, super nervous, and I'm kind of going through, and I've got this lengthy description, and I'm like, you know, 3 minutes in, Diane kind of cuts me off, and she's like, oh, you know, I get it. This is like a badass kid who has to deal with a bunch of adults that aren't doing anything, and she's got to force her way through. And I was like, and she used more colorful language than that. And I was like, yes, that is kind of the perfect description. And then she went away for a couple months. When I swung through L.A. once, she brought me into her studio to listen to what she had done. And she'd written this song called One Step Closer. And, you know, it speaks to her talent because it ultimately encapsulates exactly what the show is trying to say, which is that we're asking the audience and families to take that first step. Like, what's that first step of action that's going to do something? And if you know, if you've already taken that first step, take the next step. And it's this idea that, you know, when we work together, when we all take small movements, we really can collectively help out the planet. And so she just nailed it. And then obviously she's worked with incredible talent. She brought on Leona Lewis, who similarly is an animal rights activist. Her performance is, you know, I mean, it's heartwarming, and really kind of kicks off the show into high gear. It really is an anthem for change. And so, yeah, that's our theme song. It also appears in the end credits, and I think it's up on iTunes now. It's called One Step Closer.
In a moment, we're going to talk to JJ about a groundbreaking animation project that could have big consequences for that side of television and what else Thinking Chip Entertainment is doing. JJ Johnson is our guest this half hour on Tamavi Televised Live from Toronto, Canada. He is the creator, executive producer, writer, director of Jane, the new series that premiered last Friday on Apple TV Plus, available on smart TV sets and devices. And if you have a question on Final Minutes with JJ, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Your company is also working on a new animated series. From the sound of it, may be a real big groundbreaker for all of the animation world. It's called Builder Brothers Dream Factory. And according to the production notes on Jane, this is a real-time animation series. How do you find real-time animation, and what's that project all about?
Sure. So this one is produced in Unreal Animation, and again, this one's led by Matt Bishop, who runs our animation side, and Carla DeYoung, who's a brilliant executive producer. We were approached by the Property Brothers, who were looking to, kind of speak to their younger selves, which I find like the best shows always begin with. And obviously, construction and building and community spirit is something that has you can see is featured in their adult content. And so they were looking for a way to do it for children. And so really it's a show about the two of them as kind of, young twins dealing with community challenges, whether that's helping a young neighbor build a bike or building a cardboard fort. In one episode, they build a swan decoy to help guide a group of swans that have kind of lost their way. But yeah, it's done in Unreal Animation, which is a game engine. Quite a few animation companies are starting to lean into because it does provide a really distinct visual look, but that you can do it a little bit faster once you've kind of built all the assets out. So really excited. The show just started to air in Canada on Treehouse TV and Stack TV, as well as it's launched on Discovery Latin America. And hopefully over the coming months, we'll see it spread around the world.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, Disney did a very unique effort, and it's never been done before the way, and that involved their popular animated series on Disney Channel, Big City Greens. It was doing a live animation of an actual National Hockey League game, featuring characters, environment from Big City Greens, where the animation was done live on the spot. Even had the actors from Big City Greens, the voiceover actors, actually participating in various sequences. And again, all the animation was done live as the game was being presented on ESPN. The game was the animation was on Disney Plus. It was on Disney Channel, Disney XD, and so on. Do you think we are getting at a point where we are going to see animation produced live, as opposed to having the painstaking process of doing it like over 8-9 months for an episode to happen?
I mean, I hope so. Like, I'm a obviously, personally, the kind of content that I tend to make involved live-action CG-blended shows. What I have always loved about animation is that it really can take the viewer anywhere, but there is a lot of animation content out there. So I'm always inspired when you see anyone trying to play with that convention. I think that, Spider-Verse movie was an epic leap forward in terms of, blurring the line between multiple different styles. And so, producing something live that still has an animated spirit, I just think is a neat way to continue to try to evolve it. So anything like that, I think, is exciting.
Yeah. We'll see if that does happen and how soon we will see more either one-shot live animated shows, as animation done live before your eyes, or we ultimately see maybe an animated series produced live. You never know. Speaking of production, what else is your company Sinking Ship working on right now?
So soon to announce that we'll be doing another spin-off of our popular Dino Dan series, which is a series about a little boy who loves dinosaurs so much that he imagines them into the real world. That started, I think, like 12 years ago with Dino Dan, and then evolved into Dino Dan Trek's Adventures, which was his little brother. And then became Dino Dana, which was a spinoff with a girl lead. So we're just in the early days of that, but hope to announce that series soon. And then still in deep post-production on Jane, so we'll continue on that. And obviously have some new shows that we're just starting to go out and pitch.
Mm-hmm. If Apple TV Plus gives you a second season, JJ, are there species, endangered species that you could not make a story about this first season that if you get the second season, definitely it's on the radar screen?
100%. I mean, sadly, there are more animals than I think we would care to admit that are on the endangered species list. We really tried in the first season to cover, to make sure, because Apple TV is this, awesome global service, that we were featuring animals from around the world and that we were looking at as many different environmental challenges that each were facing, whether it's loss of habitat or, their environment changing because of greenhouse emissions. So, yes, in the second season, there's a ton of animals that we had on our list that we would love to be able to do. So fingers crossed that happens.
Mm-hmm. And have you heard from Dr. Jane herself and her people? What do they say? Have they seen the episodes? What do they think? And what does she think?
Yes. So we were just at a launch event. So in addition to the series, and this is all part of us wanting to get the message out as much as possible, we've got two museum experiences that are specifically focused on our bee episode and why bee colonies are collapsing. So it's a live experience at the California Science Center and the Carnegie Museum in Pittsburgh, and we were able to do our kind of premiere screening at the California Science Center on Friday. So she was there, and she's just, you know, I mean, obviously an incredible speaker, but she really believes that youth are the key to solving this crisis, because when you hear a kid who's worried about their future, it changes your perspective in terms of what we need to do to help them. So in addition to Roots and Shoots, they've launched a website called joinjane.org, where, you know, again, hopefully if kids and families have seen the series and feel so inspired, they can go there and start to get involved in Roots and Shoots. A lot of Roots and Shoots deals with local issues and local animals that are under threat, but also obviously have kind of tailwinds that go into the larger world. So, you know, I think what I, you know, she had this interview, I think like last week, where she talked about the burden of feeling this need to inspire, and that she knows she's, you know, running out of time. To your point, she's been doing this at the top of the show for, you know, 70 years, and it hasn't gotten better. And so I feel her sadness in that, and we're really hoping that, you know, she doesn't feel alone in this pursuit, and that, you know, she inspired us to try to inspire others. And hopefully with partners like Apple TV and her organization, we're able to get this message that we've still got time. There is still hope, but we need to act now.
And let's close this segment with a direct quote from the amazing Dr. Jane Goodall. Only if we understand will we care. Only if we care will we help. Only if we help can they be saved. Jane, now running on Apple TV Plus on smart TV sets and smart devices. More details about the program online, go to www.apple.com. And for more details about J.G. Johnson's production company, it's www.sinkingship.ca, because it's based in Canada. That's www.sinkingship.ca. Jane, now available on Apple TV Plus on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. J.G. Johnson, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations to you and everybody involved for making this series happen. Hopefully what started this past Friday is going to be a very, very big and wonderful long run that will do more than just stay on the air. It will help endangered species hopefully stop being endangered.
Yeah, thanks, Simon. Much appreciated.
You're welcome, JJ. All the greatest. Take care. Have a super week.
Bye. Thank you.
JJ Johnson joining us live from Toronto, Canada. Thanks to all of our guests for being here today and all of you for tuning in. We are back on Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. In the meantime, if you want to catch up an episode you missed, go to our homepage, gray.com/televised. Check out our podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms, as well as our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio or other streamers of this program. Andy Toe is B-Charge General Manager. Jay Sonnenberg is Head of Content. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday. Don't forget you can catch me on Wednesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, the Sports Newswire on the Sports Grid Network, and then back here for Tomorrow Be Televised, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, plus all of our podcast destinations and our website, too. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe, and, of course, make it great. And do what you can do to make the planet even better. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.